A warm greeting to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, the message is entitled Grace to Subject to One Another. And if you were to turn to our text to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6, and we shall look at this text for our consideration this morning. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, I want to thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercies upon our lives. And now, Father, Lord, as we open your word, we ask that, Father, you will grant us attentive ears and discerning hearts to hear your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, you hide me behind your cross. Forgive me, Lord, for all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What is grace? And how do we define grace of God? Grace is the unmerited favor of God, the kindness of God, and the love of God. And there are two kinds of the grace of God. And the first type, and we consider the grace of God to the unsaved ones. And a good example that we can find this in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. And here we say, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why God found grace in Noah and not others out of the thousands and thousands on the earth? This we do not know. When sinners, they are saved by the grace of God, and then we see that there's another type of grace of God that is demonstrated in us, in our Christian life. And this is the second type of grace that demonstrates in Christians. Do you realize that when we are saved by grace, that God exhorts us that we have to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that we must be diligent in our Christian's living, searching for his words, searching for knowledge, searching for wisdom from the scriptures. And if you look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, here he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And then this grace of God in a Christian, it is God's way of dealing with us, that working in us, that through us, that to make us Christ-like, and so that we are sanctified and be more like Christ. When we dedicate our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that we have to depend on the grace of God, and that we have to depend on all his needs, and we have to depend on the Bible. Thank God for that, for the God who gives us is the Bible. And if we confess Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and as our Lord, isn't it that we are rightly subject to him? We have to do things according to his will, and we have to walk in his ways. In reference to what the Apostle Paul, who wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. The Greek text here is read as having been subjecting to one another in the fear of God. And that same meaning is also found in our text this morning in verse 5, as we consider being subject to one another. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject to one another and be clothed with humility. Yes, all of you have to subject to one another. And this phrase, subject to one another, is our topic this morning. When we are children, we all grow up under the authorities of our parents, and we are subject to them. And we honor them, we respect them. We thank for the parents' night, that we can see so many of our parents came. And isn't joyful to see that our parents on this night, so cheerful and so happy, and they were full of laughter, full of joy. We do greatly as what they have commanded us to do. And we do not want to test them. We do not want to provoke them. We do not want to make them angry. And then, as we grow older, under the authorities of the teachers in the school, and then at our workplaces, under the authorities of our bosses, and again, that we have to subject to them and happily do what they ask us to do. And then we are also, again, subject to the governing of authorities. And we know that the authorities, the governments, they are ordained by God and with the sword of judgment, as we see that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. Yesterday at our YF meeting, I shared this text entitled "The Christians and the Government with the Youth." And we learned to submit to the higher authority and to the government and also to the church. And so we being subject to them are also part of our being subject to Christ. But then, we humans, we ourselves, that we are very self-centered, that we are very self-righteousness, that we are very self-confidence, and we are so easily react to others when, you know, when whoever cross our lines, and we will argue and win an argument and over and quarrel over small matters. And you know that we are such creatures, reactionary creatures. Here, Christians, they are not exceptional. When we are driving a car or a truck cross our lines, our lanes, and we get angry, did we scold the driver of the other car? Husband and wives, they lost their control, they quarrel, they lost their testimony, they quarrel at home. We see them in church, they are at the best, but then we never know that when they are at home, they behave differently. And we can overhear our children, they talk about it, and they share it among their friends. In committee meeting, we sometimes raise up our voices, and if we are not happy with each other, because why? Because we want to get our ideas, our plans, we want to persuade the other party to our point of view. And so this happenings, these pitfalls. Why is it all these happenings? It's because of pride, because of self-centered belief, because of self-confidence, because of self-righteousness, that we will never subject to one and another because of all these differences. And here the Apostle Peter here is emphasizing that in this text, that we as Christians, as children of God, that we must subject with one another with humility. And this is the imperative. It is a command that people, that they must obey and submit. Therefore, brethren, subject to one another with brotherly love. There are three things here in this text here that Peter exhorts to the local congregation and to the local church here. He says, first of all, he exhorts them to be in obedience to the elders, as you can see them in the first part of verse 5. Second, he exhorts them to put on humility, as you can see there in the second part of verse 5. And lastly, he exhorts them to suffer, to be humble in verse 6. First, Peter exhorts the believers. Likewise, and you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Last week, Preacher Lake preached on the responsibilities of elders in the church. And the Apostle Peter here having urged the elders of the congregation and to ask to command them that they have to fulfill their responsibilities when in times of difficulties, as you can see them in verses 1 to 4. But not forgetting that given that time of situation, the kind of circumstances, you must look at the background, that the Christians there, they were suffering from the ongoing persecution at the time of the Roman Empire. And now Peter is addressing now to the younger members the important points, how to respond to the governing authorities in the church. The elder here mentioned in verse 1 to 4, here, the elder here refers to the Greek as presbyteros, and this is how we get the word Presbyterian. But this same word here in verses 5 of our chapter 5 in this text here, the elder here has a different meaning, and in this case here is reference to the age or the older persons. Peter is instructing to the younger members of the church that they have to be to obey all the older ones in the church. The elder in verse 1 to 4, here is the context here, is about leadership in the office, and that the elder here is the ruling elder to the church. But whereas in verse 5 here, the elder is referring to the older ones, and these are the leaders who are faithful, who are matured in spiritual life. And so Peter is telling the younger that they must submit to the elders. And then he says that all of you are to submit to one another. And that is whether you are old or whether you are young or whether, you know, you are old or young, that all must submit to one another. My family has been worshiping here for the last 22 years in New Life until now. And during the past years in the church, my wife and I, we have seen children who had grown up, and we are glad they are still in the church. And for the older brethren in Christ, and we are also seeing that they are becoming spiritually mature. When I was younger, I sought the advice and the counseling of the elders. And here today, I also seek them for guidance. And we are very grateful to them, and I'm very grateful to them. And so, why should we submit to the elders? There are three reasons that why we have to submit to them. Firstly, it is because God requires it. It is because it is a command of obedience. A failure of obeying to the spiritual leaders, it is an expression of rebellion against God. See? And so obedience is to them, it's an expression of submission to God. And so that's why we must be very careful. And we have to be very careful who we are submitting to. And if we are willing to submit to an elders, you know, in moral and biblical, we follow them. But we cannot follow blindly. And to those that submit to those who, to steal and to tell lies from the deceiving elders. Therefore, we must be wise in our respect for them. It is mandatory that all church leaders have to follow the qualifications that Apostle Paul writes to the young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus 1. That leaders, we must uphold the standard of God, and that we must be accountable to Him in heaven. May God help us. Secondly, the church has chosen them as elders, and as such, they were identified by church members as suitable church leaders of the church. Why? Because of their Christ-like characters. And so it will be an expression of pride for younger members of the church to reject their spiritual authority. And such rejection will do harm to the harmony of the congregation. And this will cause divisions in the church. Thirdly, The elders, they have wisdom, they have experience. Wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. And this wisdom usually comes from experience. And you see that the elders, they have gone through many difficulties, many situations and pitfalls before. They therefore know what to do and so that they can guide the church. In the text here, submit yourselves. Hear the word submit here, according to Strong Lexicon, it has a Greek military term. It means to arrange the divisions of the soldiers under the command of the leaders. And those of us who went through the army training, and we learned how to submit compulsory to the command of our commanding officers. And these submissions to the orders of the officers, they are very important in the battlefield. Defying the commands, we will be severely punished and will be sent into prison. Now, the other usage of the Greek term is non-military. That it is a voluntary. It's an attitude in giving in cooperating, in sharing a burden. The word here, submit here, used in the Bible, it refers to yielding and obedient attitude of the heart. A heart with an attitude of cooperation and support. It is a voluntary action from our heart that within us, that compel us to willingly to do a work, to serve, and not by compulsion, but a willing heart to subject yourself to others. And this is why Peter urges us that we have to listen to the older ones who submit to one another for advice and counseling. Husbands and wives who quarrel, that you must repent, you must reconcile in order that your own children subject to you and learn from you. I'm not saying my Doris and I, we were a perfect couple. But we do quarrel. But each time we say that, you know, when the sun set, everything should be over. The next day, we should start all over again. Otherwise, this will cause a negative impact on your children when they grow up. May God give us that grace to forgive one another and to subject one another, especially in our church. The second exhortation from Peter is this. He says that, be clothed with humility, for God receives the proud and gives grace to the humble. In the New Testament, there are 113 times that the word expression one another is used. Because God wants us as Christians to serve one another, to respect one another, to honor one another, to love one another. You see, 113 times, God tells us that we have to live one another under grace. And that's why in our memory verse this morning at Romans chapter 12, verse 10, I chose us this, that God tells us that we should subject one another with brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring to one another. This verse 5 in this text here, it begins with the word humility. We need humility, humility, humility to serve the Lord, to do God's work and to love one another and to honor one another. The Apostle Peter, he knew this. Before, he was a stubborn, he was a heady, he was self-willed, he was self-righteous, he was proud, he was high-minded. And very often, the I is very prominent in our life. If you take the word, the middle letter of sin, there is this I, and it stands for self-confidence. You see, self-confidence blinds a person to his own ignorance and to his own weaknesses. You see, it causes a person to rely on self and not depending upon the Lord. I used to rely on self to do all things during in the past. But I realized that without him, I can do nothing. I was just realized that coming to increase in age, I realized that I need God most of the time. You remember on the night when Peter and the rest of the disciples, they were traveling in a boat in the Sea of Galilee. And then they saw Jesus Christ on the water. And Peter thought that, you know, that he had a perfect confidence on himself. And then he starts to walk on the water. And when he saw him, what happened? He saw the waves of the sea. And then he saw the impact of the wind surrounded him, the strong winds. He panicked, and then he cried out his master for help. Through pride, through his self-centered life, he fell many times. And we can see that in the Bible. Until he experienced a hard road, that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble, as in verses 5 in 1 Peter chapter 5. So you see, Peter learned about humility. He learned what his humility were. Remember when Christ taught him on humility by washing another feet in John chapter 13. And this was the act of humility by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How we get rid of our self-centered and our self-confidence and to esteem others than ourselves. But how to do it? And here Peter commands that we have to put on humility. Be clothed with humility. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. Be clothed with is translated as to put on. And the word in the Bible dictionary was described, the apron, or the garment worn by a slave that was fastened to his undergarments in order to serve his master or even wash his master's feet. And the putting on the slave's apron, normally it's just a piece of cloth over his shoulder. This cloth here, or this apron here, was a symbol used by Peter as all of us, as children of God, that we are slaves. Therefore, we should be clothed with the garment of humility. And so Peter here exhorts the church that, you know, to put on this garment of humility. And if we are to go and fight for a spiritual life, then we got to show humility to others. You see, the slave's apron, it has to be our first weapon. And then you must do it yourself. You must put on yourself this slave's apron sincerely. And it must be out from your heart. In the Roman Empire, the job of a slave was the lowest work in the sector. And being slave, meaning is that you have to do the humble work that no one is willing to do. And the word humble here in Greek here means lowly. And humility describes about a person's the humbleness of a person's or a man's character. And this humbleness describes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's character. And Peter reminds us of Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. To put on the mind of Christ. If you return to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. He says that, let this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but make himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. The word servant here is doulos. And here doulos means a slave. And Peter compares Christians as slaves, submitting to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is a pattern that we as Christians must follow. You see, Peter learns the hard way in humility. And remember, he writes about his master in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. He says that, "For as much then as Christ had suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that had suffered in the flesh had ceased from sin." And so Peter is asking us to arm or to put on the mind of Christ, and which is the garment of humility. You see, I have many pitfalls in life, but I depend on the strength of Christ, and therefore I experience him. Have you experienced Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ came down from heaven as God who gave up his throne of glory. And he came on this earth as man, born in a manger. He did not say come in the palace. And then he grown up as a carpenter's son in a small village of Nazareth. And he was humiliated by sinful men when he was alive, when he was on earth. And he was betrayed by his own disciple, Judas, remember? And then he was mocked by the soldiers. And then the people spit at him. And they crucified him on the cross. But despite all this, Jesus endured all the sufferings, all the pains, silently suffered. All for our sins, for you and I, and so that we can have salvation in eternal life in heaven. And that salvation is so rich and free. Let us endure all things and be submissive to one another, because in this, God will bless us in our life. And this can only be done when God gives grace to do it. You see, God hates the proud man. He receives the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So therefore, we must let the grace of God rule our life. And may God give us a conduct to be like in Christ. And let us have Christ's example in our lives as his pattern, follow his pattern of humility. When we come together, when we meet each other in meetings and endure one to another. And as husband and wife, let the relationship submitting to one another, subject to one another, that wife submit your husbands, husbands love your wives. And remember to follow after Christ's example, then you will be blessed with your life. And now we look at, lastly, Peter now exhorts us to suffer, to be humble. It says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time." I was struggling with this verse. But then now I realize that the act of humble yourselves comes from the hands of God. Here, as Apostle Peter, he exhorts the believers to be humble, or suffer yourselves to be humble. You see, the Christians scattered among the provinces of Asia Minor at the time of Peter. Then they were suffering from persecution. And this persecution and the sufferings of these people, through which that these Christians they were passing by, there was the act of God to humble the persecuted Christians. And so this humbling process which God was using was to make them humble. And if any of us that we are going trials and testings, let it be blessed, because it is God's working on you. And that you are under the mighty hand of God. Peter exhorts that these believers, you and I, that we have to react towards this in a God-honoring way, and that is to be submissive to the discipline of God. You see, when you are suffering from persecution, such as parents forbidding you to go to the church, such as, you know, be waiting for the promotion, and then the promotion did not come in because you are a Christian, because your boss is an antichrist, an anti-God. And then maybe your friends betray you, and then cause you a lot of problems. Would you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God? You see, when you believe that there is God who is sovereign and in control, then you must lay your trust on Him. Remembering that suffering is an important part of the testimony of a Christian. And you can find that in Acts chapter 9, verse 16. The Apostle Peter mentions this here, in this text here, in our text here in 1 Peter, that if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. If you look at 1 Peter 3:14. But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And then he adds that after a while, you know, you have suffered, the God of grace, it will make you perfect. And if you look at verse 10 of chapter 5, verse 10 of chapter 5 here, he says, but the God of all grace, who had called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You see? What a promise. It's all right to be suffer. You know, if you suffer for Christ's sake, and you will be blessed. And this is the promise that we must claim from the scripture. In the Old Testament, we have two examples. Remember of Joseph and David. Joseph, who was put in prison for an adultery that he did not commit, and he was sentenced to prison for 2 years. And remember the fugitive David. He was on the run from King Saul, who wanted to kill him. Why? Because remember the woman said, Saul had slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Just because of this word, he got so jealous that he was so angry and that he wanted to kill David. So you see the two men, Joseph and David, though they have spent their many wasting days and nights and years in the prison and in the wilderness, respectively, God showed them mercies, and they lived and they suffered under the mighty hand of God. You see, God would not harm anyone, especially his people. And so if we are persecuted, or if we are betrayed, would you endure hardships and sufferings and pains? Would you humble yourself? Would you be submissive? Would you be in obedience? Will you be patient when the due time is given and that you will be promoted? You see, God will assault you with rewards. And these rewards, they are not monetary, but your name will be manifested to the whole world to show to the people that we are all his children of God. You see, the Apostle Paul, he preached the gospel. What happened to him? He was beheaded. And God exalted him, manifest his name to the whole world as the great apostle who martyred for Christ. You look at Joseph. God blessed Joseph and let him become the second ruler of Egypt after Pharaoh. And then you look at David, and David was made the king of Israel. You see, God always works in the imperfect man, and then he will give grace to the person. And so God is sovereign and that he is control. He will demote on people who are proud and lift up on people who are humble. Just look at example of Haman. Haman, remember in the book of Esther, the proud Haman, who was the Jews' enemies. He wanted to be the next king. And so what happened that he prepared the gallows, you know? He prepared the gallows for who? To hang Mordecai. To hang Mordecai. But then, God's sovereignty, his providence, what happened? His plot to destroy the Jews failed. And then what happened to him? And he was sent to his own gallows that which he built, you see? God receives the proud, but give grace to the humble. Therefore, we as children of God, and that we must have Christ-like humility. That we must let people see Christ in us through our testimony in life, that they will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit your husbands. And let your children see this testimony and learn from you that they may subject to one another. Let our Christian living holy, sanctified, and that even impact the lives of our loved ones. You see, don't forget, they are watching you, and do not neglect them. Yeah, you know that you are saved and that you have received blessings. And yet, you are not going to tell them in advance to help them, to give them that gospel of salvation. Why? Because you are shameful to tell them. You are worried that they will retaliate and against you and they will scorn at you. But do you know that we have that duty to reach out to them with the gospel of salvation? And so if you submit to the hands of the mighty hand of God, and if you do your part, and there is telling the people the gospel, and even if you suffer and humiliate, God will exalt you to the high praise of privilege and honor in his service, and that your name shall be manifest in the whole world as the children of God. And do you want to live to submit yourself under the mighty God of hand, the mighty hand of God who is in control? May God help us. May God give us that grace as we subject one to another in obedience to the elders, to put on humility and to resist the proud, and finally to suffer to be humble under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time God will reward you and I in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee, Lord, for thy word. And we pray that, Lord, that thy word will help us to be just, not just hearers, but also be doers. Father, I pray that, Lord, that you give new life in all brethren here, to give us grace as a church, as children of God, to subject one another in obedience to the elders, to put on humility, and to suffer to be humble. We thank thee, Lord, for your sovereignty, and that, Father, we know that you are in control and take care of everything. Thank you, Lord. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.